tonight's teaching, we'll start off page 303, the First Samuel. I think it was so neat. I was recently reproved in a loving way because I used to go on really long runs because I needed answers to prayers. And Yahweh would say, you pray for my needs first, you take care of my needs, and I'll give you these answers to these prayers. And it got to the point where I'd go once a week, I'd go run for an hour and pray for people. And I forgot to be bringing him questions. And for some reason, I thought that I was being content, meek, humble, because I wasn't bringing him questions. We are commanded to be seeking, to be asking. And even tonight, we have a chance to say, what would you like? Bring something to the altar to say, what would you like tonight? Was it knowledge? Is it freedom? Is it encouragement? We serve a living Elohim, a living God, and His Son is in the room. And if you want something, ask. Be seeking, be asking, be knocking. We're going to go before Jesus Christ and say, hey, why didn't you ask more? What do you mean? He goes, well, you should at least have a list asking me about 500 times a day. Get a checklist. If you don't ask me 500 times or 300 times or 200 times for something, it's just kind of an idea. Be seeking and asking. Before we start reading the scripture, as I kind of come back to the teaching, there was a prophet, and the last judge. Anybody know who it was?
The last judge
was Samuel. Very good. Very good. So here was Samuel. He was a boy. He was taken to Eli. Eli loved his children more than he loved Yahweh. Nevertheless, Eli did raise Samuel. And there's a point where Samuel's a young boy and he heard, Samuel, Samuel. And the teacher came and I said, was it a scary voice? No. Was it a peaceful voice? Yes, it was. Samuel gets out of his bed and runs in. Here I am, Lord. Or here I am, Eli. What do you want? Eli says, I didn't say anything. Get back to bed. Anybody who's had kids or been a kid, you find any reason to get out of bed. I'm thirsty. I heard a noise. I got to ask you a question. Anyways, he goes back to bed. Samuel. Samuel. He comes back out three times. Actually, the third time, Eli would have known it. Samuel. It's Samuel is how you would actually pronounce his name. Not Samuel, but Samuel. But this kid's not looking for trouble. He knows he's already getting beat. Could something else be happening? Yes, he was receiving it. And Eli realized that Yahweh was talking to him. What did Eli tell Samuel? Anybody? Go back. And when he says, I want to talk, what do you say? He says, speak, for your servant is listening. Has anybody here ever heard from Yahweh and Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. I have. Do you know what we should do anytime He starts a conversation? Get down on our hands and our knees and say, speak, for your servant is listening. You know what I do? I'm on my phone, on my Facebook. Yeah, what's up? I'm not getting very much information. Hold on, let me tell you. We're talking about the Creator of the universe and His Son. His perfect Son. If they want to have a talk with us, pause everything. Speak, for your servant is listening. Well, if you're driving, you might want to pull over before you kneel. But just a thought. I don't know why I never even thought of that. It was like 3 days ago. I got a word of knowledge to turn on a movie. And here's the book, Esther. And I was watching it, and I was like, I'm kind of criticizing because The Night with the King is one of my favorite movies. It's not quite as good. And here's Ruth, or Esther, excuse me, or Hadassah. And this is not in the scripture, so the directors took some liberty. But here's Esther, or Hadassah, and she gets a word from Yahweh. Yahweh says, keep your mouth quiet in the movie. But as soon as she realized that Yahweh was talking to her, guess what she did? She got down on her knees. She said, speak, for your servant's listening. And I went, well, I'm only 37 years old, so I got probably another at least 100 years left. Speak, for your servant's listening. I'm like, wow, I don't know why I never thought of it. That's just a good idea. Would somebody read chapter 15, 1 through 3 for me?
And Samuel said unto Saul, it was me Yahweh sent to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken thou to the voice of Yahweh's words. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, I have well considered what Amalek did unto Israel. how he lay in wait for him in the way when he came up out of Egypt. Now, go and smite Amalek and devote ye to destruction all that he hath, and spare him not, but thou shalt slay both man and woman, both child and suckling, both ox and sheep, both camel and ass.
What's real interesting about this, the Amalekites, were they Israelites?
No.
Yahweh considered what they did unto Israel, and he judged them. And basically, the interesting thing is, did they know Yahweh's word? No. They didn't know Yahweh's word, as far as we know. Did they have the written word of reference? They didn't. Okay. Turn to Exodus 32, page 116. Another great advantage of reading out of the Rosary. I'll tell you the page.
Hey,
talk about cutting your meat up. 116, the 32nd chapter of Exodus. Which, obviously, it's better if you didn't tell the page, but for time purposes, it's good to exercise, but it's also good to be speedy when necessary. 25 through 27. Okay. And Moses saw the people that unbridled they were, for Aaron, or Aaron, had given them the reins for a whispering among their enemies. So Moses took his stand in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is for Yahweh? To me!" Then gathered unto him all the sons of Levi. And he said unto them, "Thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, put ye every man his sword upon his thigh, pass through and return from the gate to gate in the camp, and slay ye every man his brother, every man his friend, and every man his neighbor." And Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell from among the people on that day about 3,000 men. He said, "Come to me, who's for Yahweh?" And he goes, "Go kill him." What in the world's going on here? Moses went up 40 days. He was on the Mount Sinai. You can imagine, here he is. 40 days Moses is spending time with Yahweh. Do you think that was a good fellowship? Have you guys ever been to a nice church retreat, a teaching? Have you ever been to a place where you want to grab that? You've been to like a nice concert where you're in great fellowship, and then you come home to a big fight? Moses spent 40 days with Yahweh. Do you think that's a peaceful place? Just like Sean's prophecy. I thought she was wonderful. Are you kidding me? And he comes home to what? What is this? They rebelled. And he said, Aaron has given them the reins. And Aaron had, because of their itching ears, they heaped up a teacher. It says that in 2 Timothy. And who did they choose? Aaron. And Aaron gave them the reins. What were they doing? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, page 173. In the Greek, I'm not going to say New Testament, Old Testament, because that's inaccurate. It's the Hebrew Scriptures or the Greek Scriptures. Because it's one book. It's not the new and improved. But what were they doing? Why did they have to be put to death? What's going on here? Golly, you can kill your brother? That's what it looked like. And it kind of looks like. 7 through 8.
What chapter?
Chapter 10, 1 Corinthians. Actually, I'll start at verse 6. Mom, would you read 6 through 8?
"But in these things it became examples for us, to the end we should not be covetous of evil things, even as they also coveted. Neither become ye idolaters, as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to be making sport. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed fornication. And there fell in one day 23,000.
You say, okay, sex is beautiful when it's between a husband and a wife the way Yahweh intended it. Outside of it, it is evil. And making sport, E.W. Bulger points this out, I've heard other people say it too, there'd be homosexual activities and a lot of illicit, nasty things. Moses came down to what? The adversary, we know in Ephesians 6, we wrestle now flesh and blood. It appeared that the adversary picked a huge fight. And you ever had that sometime? You come home and you're like, and the ante is so high that you're like, what am I going to do? What did Moses do? He goes, who's for Yahweh? And he did not back down. And what happened? 320,000 died, or 3,020 died. Did 23,000? Okay, thank you. Thank you for that correction. Did any of the Israelites here know what was written?
Yes.
No, it hadn't been written yet. No, this is not Sinai. Okay, so these people are just learning who Yahweh is. They just came out of Egypt. They got all these false gods, and yet they were judged, and they didn't know the scriptures. Isn't that interesting? Whatever. Said they didn't know what about this judgment. What about the Malachites? Did they know the scriptures? They didn't know that either. Could go, man. They didn't necessarily know that. Galatians 6 in the Greek, it'll be in the Greek scriptures, page 195. So important. This is what my father's taught in kind of his teachings. That, if somebody shows you a difficult verse, you don't have to explain a difficult verse. Especially if the one difficult verse contradicts several clear verses. And you learn this in science. You don't have to know what something is. Just tell us what it is not. I mean, with the science, you say, it's not this, it's not this, it's not this. You test it. We can do it with the scriptures. So all this, like even this teaching tonight, is to prepare us. Difficult verses, difficult things, or explanations. How do you explain it? Galatians 6, verse 7, that's page 195. This is so great. There's a teaching called, there's a teaching about deceiving yourselves. Jesus Christ says, you are deceiving yourselves. And we've been deceived by other people, right? Mm-hmm. And do you know who the biggest deceptor is, probably? Is ourselves. Especially for Christians. If we're not walking in darkness, if we're not having fellowship with wickedness, if you are a Christian and you have fellowship with wickedness, then Yahweh says, you don't have any fellowship with me. Well, that's what I do. He goes, anybody that lives in darkness does not have fellowship with me. They're lying. You gotta be in light with me if you want a fellowship. But if we're in light, then who is the deceiver? Adam and Eve, genetics. Verse 7. Be not deceiving yourselves. Have you ever deceived yourself?
No.
I can have 6 pieces of chocolate cake and I won't have any side effects. It takes about 6 weeks. Plus, I'm like a personal trainer and bodybuilder. For anybody who's exercising, working out, doing a lot of exercise, you've been working out for 4 or 5 days. I want you to know, you won't see the results about 3 or 4 days later. Just so you know. If you've been dieting, if you've been running and exercising, you look in the mirror, I don't look any different. Stay away from the scale. It's a liar. Especially if you're a woman. Just stay away from some of those things. I'm always a liar. But anyway, you'll see the results about 4 or 5 days later. Just so you know. But what it says, be not deceiving yourselves. God or Yahweh is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, the same shall he also reap. I love that with the movie Liar, Liar. Because he can't lie. And then what's happening with that? He goes, I'm reaping what I've sown. All this truth comes out. You're going to go, that's Liar, Liar. Is that a Christian movie? I think not. But people know you're reaping what you have sown. We know that. Israel, the evil Israel, and the Amalekites were found guilty. Even though they didn't know Yahweh's written word. Was this the first judgment? Like this? Like the Amalekites? Man, woman, child, and animals died? Man, that's if you just read that, you don't know the word. That's very difficult. The important thing is, what are we commanded? This is called the Shema. Okay? This is Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 8. We are supposed to speak Yahweh's word when we sit in our house, when we walk us in our way, when we lie us down, when we get up. We're supposed to put Yahweh's word on our doorpost. We're supposed to put it for a band between our eyes and speak to our children every day. If you don't know Yahweh's word and then you take one verse or one scripture and you have nothing to compare it to, do you think you're setting yourself up for failure? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a lot of us, if you've never read the word or if you're not in it, the word of promise is a great way to submerge yourself. And you got to read one thing, man, woman, and children died? Oh my goodness! The reason why that is so confusing is usually we have not read his word. Because if somebody tells me something contrary to my brother, and they say, your brother said this. Time out. Maybe, maybe not. Then I go to my brother and say, did you say this? He goes, I did say it. I'm like, would I want him to explain himself?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yahweh explains himself first in his written word. If you're not going to open his written word, then you're not studying to show yourself approved. How many times we read those things, it doesn't make any kind of sense. Did you go to him to ask him what it means? Yes, I did. I got on my knees. I said, please tell me. He goes, I'm not telling you anything. Be obedient to Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 8. And then what will happen is when somebody shows you something, you go, that's con. No, it's not this. It's not that. It's not this. It's not that. Here's what it is. Was that the first time, I guess where I stopped there, was that the first time man, woman, child, and animal were judged without knowing the word? Genesis chapter 6, page 38 in the Hebrew. Page
38. 38. What chapter?
Chapter 6, verse 38, 5 through 7. Yeah, I'm probably going to go kind of fast. If I start going too fast for you guys, I'll listen to it. But chapter 6, 5 through 7. Would somebody read that for me?
Then Yahweh saw that great was the wickedness of man in the earth, and that every purpose of his devices of his heart was only wicked all of the day. And it grieved Yahweh that he made man in the earth. And he took sorrow unto his heart. And Yahweh said, I must wipe off man whom I created from off the face of the ground, from man unto beast, unto creeping thing, and unto the bird of the heavens, for I am grieved that I have made them.
Only wicked all the days. How many were not wicked? Anybody know any numbers?
Six?
Eight.
Against a billion. You think you're was Noah and his family blending in?
Nope.
And it's good they weren't.
And they're right.
Did these people have the scriptures?
No.
Moses wasn't born yet. And Yahweh said they're wicked. And what died? Men, women, children and animals. You know, judgment. That which you sow, you will reap. God is not mocked. Yahweh is not mocked. Genesis chapter, or Judges chapter 1, 261. Sometimes I'd read this and go, golly, you just go, man, there's judgment coming, and these people didn't even have a heads up. That's how I felt.
Yeah.
Look at that. Where was their heads up? Where's their warning? And Yahweh teaches us, what do we know about our Father? If you don't know our Father, and you haven't read the Old Testament, and you don't understand something, you don't understand most of this stuff, it's okay. Because Jesus Christ, Yahweh said, what's the most important thing we need to know? If we know what Jesus Christ came and did, was resurrected, why he died, and that we're supposed to now live for him, then we got it. You want to know what Yahweh is? Jesus Christ, or Yehoshua Mashiach, was a perfect example of what Yahweh wants in his life. Right? Okay, there it is. He did flip over the tables. He did call Peter Satan, the adversary. He did say some things, okay. But that's what you need to understand. But there were times in the Old Testament or the Hebrew scriptures, you go, man, did these people even have a heads up? Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like it, does it? But you're about ready to, the truth is about ready to set you free, Melania. In Judges chapter 1, verse 7. What happened was, after Joshua went to sleep, all of Israel came together. This is the generation that believed Yahweh, right? And they go, who should go first? They inquired of Yahweh, who's going to go into the land of Canaan? Who's going to subdue this? And Yahweh came back and says, Yehuda, Judah. Judah will go. They go in. What do? They go out to the Canaanites. If you don't know the biblical history, Yahweh promised Abraham the land of Canaan is going to belong to Abraham. Who owns the land of Canaan? Yahweh is the landlord. It's infested. There's rats. All garbage. The Canaanites are there. And Yahweh doesn't belong to you guys. And here's the Canaanites. They go to war. Now, verse 7, they catch the king of one of these guys. And we're going to see what they do. His name is Adonai Bezek. chapter 1, verse 7. Melania, would you read verse 7?
Then said...
No, no, okay. Verse 6.
But...
Adonibezek
fled, and they pursued him and took him and cut off his thumbs and his great toes.
Now, does that seem nice?
Nope.
They caught him. They let him live. He cut off his thumbs and his big toes. And it was a neat thing. We got to hear a military guy in the Air Force one time. He came in, I think it was a chaplain, but I think it might have been a colonel or something. But he says what you would do in warfare, if you don't have a thumb, you can't hold a sword. And if you don't have a big toe, you can't run. Why did they do that to Adonibezek? That's just, like, you had him captured. You cut his toes and his thumbs off? Oh, man. Sounds like Planned Parenthood. Okay, verse 7.
Then said Adonibezek, 7 kings with
70.
Their... 70 kings with their thumbs and great toes cut off have been picking up crumbs under my table. As I have done, so hath God...
Requited
me.
Was Adonibezek a good guy?
Not really.
No, he 70 kings. He cut their toes and their big thumbs off. And how did they live? They probably were starved to death unless they ate the crumbs under his table. Did anybody have to explain this to Adonibezek?
No.
Adonibezek knew that which you sow you will reap. Yahweh has given all of us an innate. We are created in the images of monkeys. Wait a minute. Some of us are. We are created in the images of Elohim. And that's why every man, every race of man is looking for something else. There's got to be more. There's got to be something. Because we're created in the image of Elohim. We're not content. Only man looks for restitution. If a gorilla beats up another gorilla, a bunch of gorillas don't come together and go, you got to pay this guy back like 55 bananas. What's this restitution? Because there's an innate witness inside all of us. And a lot of Christians will feel sometimes that if we don't go out there and explain right and wrong to people, they don't even stand a chance. Especially we got the doctrine of hell. There's no hell in here. There's no hell in the Old Testament. Adam and Eve weren't threatened with hell. Sodom and Gomorrah weren't threatened with hell. Noah wasn't threatened with hell. It's life or death. But here it was, Adonibezek, an evil man, knew why his thumbs and his fingers cut off. And guess what? Why did Israel win this war, Melania? They asked Yahweh, what should we do? Yahweh said, go. Who do you think told them to cut off this guy's thumbs and toes?
Yahweh.
Who told somebody to write down that account in here?
Yahweh.
Is this a lesson for us?
Yeah,
because there's a wicked person in Africa that's mutilating people. Well, he doesn't know right from wrong. An animal, maybe, but we're not animals. We're created in the image of Elohim. And even Adonibezek, he knew exactly what was coming. That which you sow, you will reap. It says, be not deceiving yourselves. Sometimes we deceive ourselves. Sometimes we deceive ourselves about other people. Well, if we don't just wake them up, they don't even stand a chance. No. You're deceiving yourself for whatever reason. Genesis 18. That'd be page 47.
And I didn't finish that verse.
47. Page 47, chapter 18.
What verse?
Genesis 18, verse 20. That's page 1, verse 47. Get there. Would somebody read verse 20, chapter 18?
Me.
Okay.
So Yahweh said, the outcry of Solomon and
Gomorrah,
because it hath become great. And their sin became, hath become exceeded grievous.
Sodom and Gomorrah, where we get the sin called sodomy, is from this town called Sodom. How wicked was this town? Here it is, very wicked. Because when the angels came, well, before I go there, Was there any innocence in Sodom and Gomorrah? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who?
Lot.
Lot.
And his wife and...
Was it five righteous men?
Two daughters.
If you read the account before this, Yahweh said, am I going to hide what I'm going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah? Am I going to conceal this thing to Abraham? Do you think Abraham had a good heart?
Yeah.
He's the only person called Yahweh's friend. And Yahweh says, I'm going to have to judge these people, how wicked they are. And you know what Abraham did? If there's 100, I think. I forget the numbers. If there's 100, would you not spare the 100? And Yahweh said, I would spare the 100. They're still getting moved. If there's 75 righteous, would you spare the whole set? If there were 75, and Yahweh said, I would. And you can see here the imagine like the bomb's going to go off and the countdown is still going down. It hasn't stopped the detonating. If there's 50, Yahweh said, if there was 50, I wouldn't do it. And here's what was Yahweh teaching Abraham? How wicked this thing is.
Yeah.
How evil. Did Sodom and Gomorrah have the scriptures? Did they see anywhere where homosexuality and sexual immorality was a sin? No. But here's Yahweh goes, and then gets down to 10. If there's 10, would you not spare Sodom and Gomorrah? And here's Yahweh teaching us and teaching Abraham. I would if there were 10. But there's not 10. How many were there? 3. Lot's wife almost made it. She turned back. She was wicked. All of them were newt. Did Yahweh remove the innocent?
Yes,
He did. Sodom and Gomorrah, how do they know about their sin? They knew about their sin. And guess what? The sexual immorality and the fornication, homosexuality, is the same thing in Exodus 32. Did those people read scriptures? No, they know what they're doing is wrong. And if you see somebody wrestle with homosexuality or something, they're deceiving themselves. You can say, hey, do you think Bruce Jenner is going to be dressed like that when he goes before Jesus Christ? I don't think so. And they don't even have to answer the question. He's not going to go before Jesus Christ. Okay, well, if you ever want to discuss his judgment, well, then let's talk about it. If you're not, I'm not going to discuss it. But Yahweh removed the righteous. He did. But what was inside Sodom and Gomorrah? Were there men there? Yeah. You want to know how evil Sodom was? Yahweh sent two angels to go get Lot and his family for the kids. And the men of Sodom saw the two angels that go into Lot's house. And you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to rape the angels. That's how evil they were. So Yahweh's just trying to take out Lot. And how evil were these men? They're going to rape them. Now, do you know what the angels did? They smote them with blindness so they couldn't see. So let me ask you a question. If you guys are out on the playground and you go blind, are you going to stop what you're doing, maybe go home, ask for help? Would it get your attention if you went blind?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to go home.
It didn't stop these guys. They didn't stop. They started feeling around the house, trying to still find a way to come in and rape these guys. How evil was Sodom? These guys, everybody's demonized. You can imagine Sodom was probably a lot like Noah's time. And why did we get to see that? They went blind. They didn't go home. Whoops, that didn't work out. I got to go home. I got to work tomorrow. No, they weren't going to go home. That's how wicked they were. Were there men, women, and animals in Sodom and Gomorrah?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They got nuked. In Leviticus, it says, do not repeat, in Leviticus 18, homosexuality and sexual immorality, men dressing like women, these other things. Yahweh told Moses, say, don't do what these people did. Do you know what will happen? It's an abomination. You'll be worthy of death. Not only that, the land will vomit you out. Is the land judging them? Yes, it is. We turn to Joshua 6, page 240.
Deuteronomy, Joshua 2:40.
Joshua chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. If somebody would read that for me.
And it shall be that as for the city, devoted shall it be, and all that is therein unto Yahweh. Nevertheless, Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But in any wise do ye beware of what is devoted, lest ye should covet and then take of what is devoted, and so cause the camp of Israel to be devoted and bring trouble upon it. Keep going.
And verse 21.
But as for all the silver and gold and vessels, jump to
21.
And they devoted all that were in the city, both man and woman, both young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword.
This is the town of Jericho. Jericho was judged for their wickedness and their sin. Only Rahab chose life. She chose life. The other people, even Adonai Bezek, knew that he was guilty. Sodom and Gomorrah, before Noah, they knew what they were doing. Well, how did they know? There was no written word. Man's without excuse.
Yeah.
It said that in Romans 1. You're without excuse. And you might be deceiving yourself. And sometimes we'll be deceiving ourselves, but we haven't convinced ourselves. You're not going to convince yourself. But that's when we got to help people to say, when you want help with preparation. Now, with Christians, we're not going to lose our salvation. We're still going to be judged for this life. We're still being created for good works. So salvation is by grace, but he says he died for you, so you live for him. Are you producing good works? No. And the only people that don't want to talk about good works are usually people that aren't doing it. We're going to get graded for all this. We're going to get pats on the back. There's going to be rewards. That where your treasure is, there's where your rewards are going to be. All the Gospels, Jesus Christ is saying, do the hard thing. And they're going, man, that doesn't sound easy. I know. There's going to be rewards. Imagine paradise. There's going to be things you're not going to want to do. It could be speaking in tongues or telling somebody about speaking in tongues. That's so weird. I don't like to talk about that. Man, if it's somebody who's dealing with sexual immorality or alcohol or pornography, they're dealing in the adversary's realm. Do they need strength? You bet your rear they do. Teach them about speaking in tongues. Well, golly, I don't want to do that. If you can't see it being rewarding in this life, imagine the rewards in the next life. What you need to do, all of us have something stretching about what we need to do. None of us are perfect. So here I am, and I'm speaking to myself too. What? I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Do you think Moses wanted to have people killed? Moses was the one that, when Yahweh said, I'm going to wipe them all from the face of the earth, I'll start over with you, Moses. Moses goes, no, wait a minute. If you do that, Yahweh... And Moses was the mediator between Yahweh and Israel, just as Jesus Christ is our mediator, the man. Where does it say that? Anyone?
Timothy?
2:5. It says Jesus Christ, a mediator, and he's still called a man. Interesting, isn't that? What else does it say? Is there a mediator between one?
Two.
No, only between two. Where does it say that? Galatians. So there's another thing. Jesus Christ is our mediator, but the deal is Moses, Yahweh's going to wipe him off, and Moses goes, hey, halt! I can't tell you what to do, but if you wiped him off, everybody's going to say you couldn't have done it. They're going to look, everybody's watching it, Yahweh, and if you don't bring them out, then they're going to say it's because Yahweh was not able, and that's why Yahweh killed him. And you know what Yahweh did? Actually, in their Hebrew, said he repented. That's really interesting. Did Moses want these people to die?
No.
Did he want them to get put to death?
Uh-uh.
No. The wages of sin is what?
Death.
That's Romans 6:23. Okay, you're going to say, wow, so Moses was the mediator. Joshua, when you see man, woman, and child die, golly. Well, that's a lot like the flood, isn't it? Did man, woman, and child die during the flood?
Yeah,
sure did. Well, I never compared Jericho with a man, and guess what happens to Ai? All wiped out. Why? Judgment. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 17. Page 230. Rahab, out of Jericho, for 40 years, Yisrael marched around in the desert. They got their water from the desert. They got their food from the desert. Nobody else could do it. And everybody would have saw these guys, including Jericho. Who are these people? How do we know that Jericho knew about Yahweh? Because Rahab says, we heard about what he did in Egypt. Yeah. And everybody's shaking in their boots. Repent. Who repented? Rahab. Rahab separated herself. Holy I am, holy shall you be. It says that it's repeated again in Peter. Holy means to separate. What did Rahab do? Do you think Rahab wanted her neighbors to get nuked? No. What did Rahab do? She chose heaven.
No.
She chose life. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Would somebody read that?
I will. Thanks. I call the witness against you today, the heavens and the earth, that life and death have I set before thee, the blessing and the curse. Therefore shouldest thou choose life, that thou mayest live, thou and thy seed.
It didn't say, I've set before you heaven and hell. It says life and death. And what is neat about this, in Leviticus 18, it says the land will vomit you out. Is that a judgment? Don't judge me. Yahweh goes, the land will vomit you out. You know what's going to happen in Las Vegas and Bourbon Street? If it could, the land's going to vomit them out. It also said if you don't practice Yahweh's will, you don't do what Yahweh says, the rain will stop. Do you think it's a coincidence that Israel, which used to be the land flowing of milk and honey, is a desert? For the most part, I mean, it's not all that's desert, but still, that is not the land. It doesn't look like Milwaukee to me. It doesn't look like Nebraska with green. It doesn't look like Missouri. You see, there's still some rain there, but you're going to go, man, what happened to it? Do you think it's a coincidence? It's not a coincidence. Right here, heaven and earth are witnessed against you. Yahweh, people know what they're doing is wrong, and so. But Yahweh says, "I give you life and death." Rahab chose life. Sodom and Gomorrah, they could have chose life. They didn't choose life. How about Noah? Noah and his family chose life. Life and death. Caleb, Moses, and Yehoshua, or Joshua. How many, actually it says spies were sent into the land of Canaan. They're actually, this was news to me, I learned from my father's teaching, they're actually princes. They know they're princes. The big difference. A spy is a nobody that blends in, right? A prince? Yeah, everybody sees a prince, right? You might have, okay, out of the 12 princes, who believed Yahweh's word?
Caleb.
Two. Two chose life. 10 chose death. Moses, Caleb, and Yehoshua, or Joshua, chose life. Moses didn't get to go into the promised land, but he chose life. Out of all of Israel that came out of Egypt, who chose life? Really? For the most part, I mean, they had life. They were learning the statues and stuff, but not the life that, at least to the fullness of Yahweh had. But you know, golly, really? What's happening here is life and death. Each day we have the wages of sin is death. All this sin, all of it's. If you want to know how much sin there is in you, try controlling your tongue for one day, Isaiah. One day. And Yahweh said, it says that if you sin in one part, you can sin in all of it. Your control your tongue. Is that easy? Jesus Christ said, I always say what my father says to say. That's our example. Go, one day, how about 3 hours? Well, I could do it, but I'll be a monk. But then it also said, but the scriptures also said, if you even think it in your heart, you're guilty. But just your tongue. We got a lot of sin. But we remind yourself, the wages of sin is death. I got to explain to my son, I said, the wages of sin is death. But if we do sin, what do? Repent. Do what Rahab did. Get down on your knees. 1 John 1:9, what does it say? In kids' language, it says, if you confess your sin and say, I did it, it's my fault, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it again, Yahweh will absolve you from all unrighteousness. And then, guess what? Now you have fellowship again. If you go, it was Isaiah's fault, it's your fault, then you haven't repented or confessed your sins. But that's how you get back in Yahweh's good graces. The difference, so we have Rahab. Another one, if I had more time, I would have gone into it. Rahab was a household that chose life, right? That was neat. They just chose life. Jericho chose death. What a waste. Why did those children die in Jericho, guys? They and their parents chose death. They chose death. Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
Why did... Lot and his two daughters chose life. The rest of all the families, why did they die?
They chose death.
The wages of sin is death. It was judgment. And everybody is then... But here's something really, I wish I had more time. In Joshua 6, guess what happens? So people call the Gibeonites. Joshua 6, the writing's on the wall. Well, wait a minute. How did they do it? Well, it was 40 years. The rumors, Egypt is demolished, is wiped off. Everybody, for 40 years, the rumors of Yahweh and these crazy people living in the desert, what do they drink for water? I heard it. They get it right off rocks. What do they do for meat? Their Elohim gives them quail. What do they do? What does their Elohim look like? You don't even get to see it. It requires faith to even worship them. Who are these strange aliens? These peculiar people. 40 years, the people in the land of Canaan, they would have known. That's our father's land. We're coming to get it. They could have repented. They could have changed. Rahab and her family was an example. The Gibeonites came to Joshua. They tricked them.
Yeah.
We're not from Canaan. Whoa, we're from way. We're from North Dakota. North Dakota. Hey, yeah, never heard of it. Anyways, what did they do? A nation repented. They chose life. Now, I've heard teachings about, oh, Joshua, you should have inquired of Yahweh, which you probably should have. You should have been like David. But did the Gibeonites turn out to be good people? I don't know. This is why you listen to the word of promise. There was a plague on Israel after Saul died. And King David is the king. And Saul goes, go inquire of Yahweh, find out why there's a plague. And they went to Gibeon, and this is what happened. And it was the Gibeonites. Yahweh plagued Israel for the Gibeonites. Did you know that? Wow, that's neat. A whole nation repented. Jericho could have repented. Sodom could have repented. Did the Gibeonites have Yahweh's word?
Nope.
How did they know they needed to change? It's almost as if there was a designer who programmed all of them. That's right. There is a designer. The difference between Noah, Sodom, and Gomorrah, those judgments, and the judgments in Joshua, Judges, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, etc., is that Yahweh changed some things. Instead of fire and brimstone judging and water judging, He started commissioning His servants. You go do it. You go judge. You do this. Romans 23 says, the wages of sin is death. 1 Samuel 15, page 304. We'll go there. Page 304. I'm going a little fast, so you guys can't keep up. You can download it for free. I'll tell you, www.tenniosministries.com. We converted to MP3 if you want to listen to it, too. Which is great, because you can digest it. Page 304. The Amalekites. Did Saul kill the Amalekites? No, he didn't. Itching ears. You see, even before this, Saul did not do a lot of things because of the itching ears. He feared the people. We were warned about that in 2 Timothy. The itching of ears are going to heap up new teachers, new doctrines, and Saul was a good example of one. Did Saul kill all the Amalekites? No. He left who? Agag. And after Saul is reproved by Samuel, what is Samuel going to do?
Stabbed him.
Verse 33. Israel, why don't you read that?
I'm not there.
All right. And Samuel said, as women have been childless by the sword, so childless among women shall thine own mother. And Samuel cut Agag asunder before Yahweh in Gilgal. And it says before this, Agag said, surely the war is over. The coast is clear. Isaiah, anybody? Did Agag repent? No. He didn't change. Why was he alive? Itching ears. It wasn't popular to do the right thing. What did Samuel do? I'm like, oh my goodness, this sounds horrible. No, Agag chose death. It was judgment day. It's time to reap what you've sown. That which you sow, you will reap. Agag sowed death. Now he's going to reap death. And so Samuel goes into his execution. Do you think Samuel wanted to do that? Are you kidding me? In front of everybody? Going to do Revelation 6:8. We won't go there. Samuel was commissioned to execute judgment in front of people, in front of witnesses. Do you think Samuel wanted to do it? No. Somebody else is going to be commissioned to execute judgment. Here's a hint. He's coming on a horse. Do you know who it is? That's right. Jesus Christ. He's going to execute judgment. What's he going to do? It says in Revelation 14:14, it says, thrust in thy sickle. How appropriate. That which you sow, you will reap. That which you sow, you will reap. People have sown death, and guess what? It's time to pay the piper. They didn't repent. And so the wages of sin is death. They're going to be judged. They chose death. Why do those things happen to those people? I think that's my iPad. That's my son. That's my Aaronite. He's calling.
A little distracted.
Yeah, a little distracted.
You know, it's
8
o'clock.
Do
you want me to try to get it?
Or you want me to do it?
Yeah, you can try to grab it.
I didn't know if it would stop on its own.
I don't know. He might keep calling. He had football practice tonight. Anyways, okay, so Yehoshua is going to execute judgment. Why are these people going to be put to death? They chose
death.
They chose death. What did you choose?
Life.
Life. You chose life. What must we know about Yahweh's judgments, especially if it's executing judgment on those who choose death? What must we know? 1 Samuel 16:7, we won't go there, but Yahweh looks on the heart. He sees all of our hearts. He sees everybody's heart. We know that He is just, and Yahweh is known by the judgment. He gives everybody a choice. Life or death. Life or death. Rahab's heart, where was Rahab's heart?
Life.
Where was Ruth's heart?
Life.
How about Hadassah's? Life. How about Samuel? Where was Jeremiah's heart? Life. Life. Noah's heart. The giving as a nation. Life. So why did the animals have to die? This is real interesting. We don't necessarily know. So we always put that out there. Where Scripture is silent, let us be silent. But here's the best of our examples. When I went to Africa, I went to go get some shots, and I looked up some things called the Center for Disease Control. And they said, if you go to East Africa, if you go to Kenya, you know what they told me to do? Not touch one single... Ruff, ruff. Yow, bah. Don't touch an animal. Not one animal. Why? The Center for Disease Control. There's diseases. Don't touch them. So we even have that today. There could be animals contaminated. Yahweh knows what He's doing. But we also know Yahweh is just. Rahab, her family, the Gibeonites, they chose life. Sodom and Gomorrah, they chose death. What if someone might say, we turn to 884. So people will say things that, now most of the time when they say this, they're deceiving themselves. But there are some people that have questions. They go, what if someone really didn't know they were sowing death? What if? What if they didn't know they were doing it? Maybe here's a prostitute in Thailand, or here's somebody. You know, how about Planned Parenthood? Maybe they really thought that these weren't humans they were harvesting. Right? They didn't know, right? What about the Nazis who exterminated the Jews and the Christians and the communists? Maybe they didn't know, right? Jonah, chapter 4, verse 11. Would somebody read that? And this is an exception to the rule. First of all, before we read that, when somebody says, if somebody got put to death, what if they really didn't know? First of all, that's ridiculous. Why? Well, because we know who Yahweh is. We know what His Son is. He always gives somebody a choice of life and death. They had a choice. But now we're going to take a look at an exception to the rule. Jonah chapter 4, verse 11.
I'll read that.
Thank you.
And was not I to spare Nineveh, the great city, wherein are more than 12 times 10,000 human beings who cannot discern them between their right hand and their left, besides much cattle?
Jonah was having a discussion with Yahweh because Yahweh is telling Nineveh to repent. And what did Yahweh say about Nineveh? Apparently they didn't know their left hand made an L. That's how I know my left from my right.
That's how I do.
They didn't know their right or their left. There's one exception. And what did Yahweh do? He sent a prophet to them. Were they without excuse, though? Well, maybe this is an example that some people, they don't know. Turn to chapter 2, verse 4 through 8.
Of Jonah?
Of Jonah. Would somebody read chapter 2, 4 through 8? I did schedule that not to be a FaceTime phone call. It's supposed to be a telephone call. So I'll have to speak with Kate about that. Interrupting the show. All right. Would somebody read 4 through 8, chapter 2?
And I said, I am driven out before thine eyes, yet I will I again have regained regard unto thy holy temple, and waters compassed me to the pool of my life.
I apologize. It should have been 3, so I'll read that. Good reading, Matt. Not should have been 3. After Jonah went to Nineveh, and he said, repent, repent, 40 days you're going to be destroyed. Were the Ninevites Israelites?
No.
Did they have Yahweh's written word?
No.
How did they know what they were doing was wrong? How come Cain, when Yahweh says, where's your brother? How come Cain, like Dad's teaching, I didn't know I couldn't murder somebody. You know. Nineveh, repent, repent, repent from what? You mean I can't do this? Well, we read 4:11. They didn't know the left from right, but were they innocent? Verse 6. I'll do verse 5. And the people of Nineveh believed Yahweh and proclaimed a fast and clothed themselves in sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. And the word reached the king of Nineveh. So he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe from off him and covered with him with sackcloth and sat on ashes, and he caused an outcry to be made and said throughout Nineveh, by decree of the king and of his great men, be it known, man and beast, herd and flock, let them taste nothing, let them not feed, let water let them not drink, let both man and beast cover themselves with sackcloth. So I want everybody to imagine a chicken walking around with a bag on it.
To go.
Little cats walking around with sackcloth. Dogs running around with sackcloth. Horses with sackcloth.
Totally.
Kids complaining because they got sackcloth. Everybody's got sackcloth. Hey. Sackcloth is a very itchy, like a burlap bag. You know, if I see the chicken walking around.
To go, chicken.
And who said this? The king did. And let them cry unto Yahweh or Elohim mightily. Yea, let them turn every man from his
wicked ways.
They didn't know their left hand from their right, but they knew what they were doing was wicked. They knew it. So when we read through Jericho and we see man, woman, child, and animals being wiped out, we go, judgment of sin is being incorporated or used. We're seeing what's happening is that people are reaping what they've sown. They've sown death. It's time to pay the piper. We know that when a jury... my sister's going to go do jury duty, and if somebody's found guilty and they sentence the death penalty, do they say that the jury murdered them?
No.
It's not murder. The wages of sin, you're guilty. It's guilty. And the neat thing is Yahweh even says it, even if sometimes people are guilty, they can repent. King David committed murder. He repented. And Yahweh says, you will not die. But it's neat to say, the real question should be, when and if people ask these questions, if you read it, go, what's going on? You'd say, the real question is not why did man, woman, child, and animal have to die. The real question is, why did this nation not repent like Gibeon? Why did this nation not repent like Nineveh? Why? Well, maybe there's a good family inside there. Well, then why didn't that family repent and separate themselves like Rahab? Why didn't they do it? We know the answer. It's because it was all evil. And then we have our own answer right there, but it's a great teaching. But that is the end. We thank you, Father, for these words. Well, I guess before I close, the next teaching will be next Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And I want to thank everybody for being here. Because by having a fellowship where people are going to show up, I have an additional reason to set myself aside for 12 hours. Not just getting Yahweh's Word. Because if you want to give a good teaching, anybody can open up a Bible. The question is, going down before his throne and saying, what do you want to talk about? I got a picture of my son giving his first teaching. And my dad behind him, showing him what to teach. And this is my screensaver. And I looked at that before this teaching, and Yahweh goes, "You was so neat." As I looked at the picture, I got a revelation. Aaron, that's what I want to do with you. You just set the Bible. I'll tell you what to say. I'll tell you what to read. And if you're obedient, I'll show up. And isn't that what you want? Don't you want to bless people? Yeah. Don't you want to look really smart? Yes, I do. Well, then just do what I say. And you'll look great. See, my son, my father designed most of the teaching. Here's this. Tell them what to read. Tell them what to do. You'll look great. Guess what? He did great. And that's all we got to do. Walk in his fellowship. But I want to thank you guys. We thank you for the words of our ear. We're at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 39. Therefore, my brother, covet, earnestly desire to prophesy. Didn't say earnestly desire to heal the sick. Didn't say earnestly desire to tithe. Didn't say earnestly desire to cast out demons. But it did say prophesy, because he wants us to hear his voice the way Adam and Eve heard it before sin came in. Words of edification, exhortation, comfort. My sons and my daughters, know this. Know that each day I plan a future for you that is better than anything you can imagine. I do like it when you watch godly movies and read movies with great, or read books with wonderful writing and stories of great deliverances, of movies like Braveheart, where there's no way they can possibly win, yet they do. I want you to watch more of these things. I want you to start stretching your imagination, specifically with characters that know the future, and think about the advantages of being with somebody who knows the future. I want you to look at these things, and I want you to know that I'm writing a movie. And that movie, that book, you are the lead character. Yes, it's about you. And I want you to get excited that we're writing each day. And the two of us, as you submit to my will, and as you do what I ask you to do first through my written word, and then second through being obedient through my word, that we are writing a novel that nobody can match. And you are the hero. You are the Superman that can't get up, but he does get up. You are the Iron Man whose suit does not work, but he gets it to work. You are Thor without his hammer. You are these people, these things that you've studied and learned about. You are the hero. And I want you to know that each day, as you are with me, and we write this thing, and I want you to get excited, specifically when there's things that don't make sense, and you go, this doesn't make any sense. How is this going to work? And I want you to get down on your knees, and I want you to be excited, because it says, be anxious for nothing. I want you to come to me and go, hey, you're the author. What are you writing here? And I'm glad you asked. I'm setting up the adversaries. They're going to get completely wiped out like Gideon. Or there's going to be a big repentance. It's going to be a story like Jonah, where a whole town's going to be... Can you imagine Jonah? Can you imagine Jonah? Can you imagine how many people might have their name written in the book of life because of Jonah? How many people from Nineveh turned and possibly became Hebrews and received salvation? And it's going to be Jonah. And his name is written. I want you to know I got a book with your names. Elijah, Isaiah, Esther, Wendy, Chuck, Tim, Donna, Rachel, Billy, Melania. And I'm writing this book each day, and it's up to you. Participate. It's the never-ending story. And it's incredible. And there's riddles. And there's victories. And I want you to know that when you believe and you trust me, it's like you're putting on your cape each day. It doesn't matter if other people see it. But if you believe what I've told you, you are putting on the cape. And other people, they will see you and they will know, truly, this is not a regular person. This is not a normal son of man. And you can look at them and say, that is right. For I am the temple of the living God. Amen.
Amen.